Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 205. Mick Monagle here with you if you're just tuning in now. Because you think I'm only on at 2, wrong. I've been on for 2 hours. Go back, listen on the Odyssey app. You can go to the rewind feature. You can go to the podcast and get my open. I opened today with the Yankee game a little bit and the Yankee-Met dynamic, which is just fun to have that conversation. Sometimes I get tired of it because it's juvenile, and quite honestly, it's a little ridiculous. They don't compete. They're not in the same division, but it's been the offseason, and today just happened to be a glaring, like all the Yankee stuff that we were concerned about, for the most part, came through in a positive. And Juan Soto struck out to end the game. And so it's just an obvious big L for the New York Yankees during the offseason. Day one, which is ridiculous to take W's on day one, but we'll take one. As the Yankees have a far better opening game. But there's still only 161 left. So I'm sure it'll stay this way the entire season. 888-808-1019. Let's have a little fun though on the calls. Jack and Wilton, what's up, Jack?
Hey, not much, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks. I'm definitely in the mood to have a little fun. First, let me say you do a great job with the show, man. Thank you for always bringing it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I really do.
No, you're welcome, and I appreciate it because you provide the gift of a good show to listen to. So I want to talk Yankees Mets really quickly, but before I do, about 20-25 minutes ago. You made a comment about generational talent, Tommy Lugauer.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's a bit where he's like doing the generational talent thing, but I mean, my God, he made the entire Mets season about himself last year.
Yes. Oh, he's off to the same start with the "I will lead us." That's
it's so obnoxious. Not everybody, you know, a different cup of tea for everybody.
Yeah, of course.
I don't love everybody on the station. I respect them. They do a good job. I love most of the people. He comes on, I turn him off. It's just so obnoxious.
Well, listen, I hear you.
I know. You're right.
He's having some fun. I'm not saying it's all
fair.
He's having some fun. I think Tommy does a really great job. I've known him for a long time, hosted shows with him. Tommy's a good dude. He's having fun. A lot of this is having fun.
As a listener, I'm saying it's obnoxious, but I'm not trying to get you caught.
Hey, listen, there are plenty of people who call up Tommy and say Big Mac is obnoxious. So that's the way it goes, man.
Well, they're wrong. But that's fair enough. So as a Yankee fan, I love the perspective that you're providing in terms of cheering for the Mets against the Astros because, of course, the Mets could play the Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, Orioles, Mariners, and the Astros. And I'm cheering for the Mets every single game.
Absolutely.
I'm a huge Yankee fan. I mean, David Wells is booked, thanked as a borderline nut job Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Yankees.
Yes.
And I will cheer for the Mets. It is not the same in the reverse. We don't think about them, and they can't stop thinking about us.
I don't think that's wrong. Me and Fliegerman were talking about this, and I honestly think right now we joke about I shouldn't even say joke. We talk about the dynamic of big brother, little brother, a lot, and we have that conversation here. And I think for the most part, it's kind of, you know, a frivolous conversation. But I will say this: you know, the Yankees and their championships and the lock they've had on this city. I think it takes more than just the off season to have a game-changing, city-changing dynamic. I would, if there is a big brother, little brother, I would say the Yankees are still the big brother. The Mets have to go out and win. But I will say this about both fan bases. Both fan bases, and I have to be honest, both fan bases have acted like little brother this offseason. Both of them. Mm, the Yankees have, the Met fan absolutely, while saying they're the big brother, is desperate to prove it. The you know, desperate, that's little brother stuff. The desperation to prove they're big brother. Big brother doesn't have to prove he's big brother. He just is big brother. The Met fan is desperate to prove it. And the Yankee fan is just, you know, obnoxious and you know, kind of have been, you know, not acknowledging that Juan Soto is good, or they react to it, or they hate themselves. There's a lot of self-loathing going on inside the Yankee fan base. So, like, I just think right now, both, like, anyone, any Yankee fan who's really happy that Juan Soto struck out, or thinks that sort of is the beginning of the demise, or he's never going to be as good as he was with the Yankees, or all that stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of Yankee fans like that. So I would say I still think the Mets have to win at a high level for a while before they want to call themselves Big Brother. But right now, I don't know if there's a fan base that acts like Big Brother. I think we've got two little brother fan bases right now.
That's totally fair. Look, with the season on the line, there's no one in baseball that I want up at the plate. No one in baseball more than Juan Soto. That's a fact. All due respect to that guy. Is there someone else you'd rather have up at the plate with the game on the line?
This is where I come across, because I understand your point, and what we've seen in recent times, specifically last postseason. But like, if we go by that, wouldn't you want Freddie Freeman in the way he handled the World Series? Like, I don't know. Like, to me, I still want the best hitters. And for my money, over the last 3 years, the best hitter in baseball is Aaron Judge. Now, I know he hasn't done it in the postseason, and thank you for the call. I know he hasn't done it in the postseason over the last couple of years, absolutely. But as Aaron Boone was talking today to ESPN and said, you know, we know how great Juan Soto was for us last year and the kind of season he had, and what Ohtani is doing in L.A. is crazy, and Judge's OPS is 100 points better than both of them. Judge is the best hitter in baseball. There really isn't a question. People can call up and argue. I had a guy call me up last Friday, a week ago now, and tell me that, you know, Freddie Freeman's better because singles take more skill than home runs. Someone actually said that to me last week. Singles take more skill than home runs. And the fact of the matter is, Judge had a better batting average last year than Freddie Freeman. Like, Judge, he was trying to call Judge a one-trick pony. Judge is the best offensive player in the game. He's the best hitter in the game. Right? If you want to incorporate base running into best offensive player, I suppose you could add Ohtani to that because of the amount of stolen bases. But to me, stolen bases are a means to an end. I don't look at stolen bases on to themselves. Stolen bases are a means to an end. They help you score runs. It's about scoring the runs. So when I look at an offensive player, you want to say, oh, he steals bases. If he steals second base with two outs and then there's a fly ball out, what did that stolen base do? Like, stolen bases help you score runs. So if you're Ricky Henderson or you're Ohtani or whomever, and you steal 50, 60 bases, and that helps you score 130, 140 runs and score more runs than everybody, I look at the runs scored, not the stolen bases. But that's just me. I don't really care about stolen bases, the number. I care about runs scored. And I like stolen bases because they help you score runs. They put you on second instead of first, where you could score on a single. So to me, it's not about how many stolen bases you have. It's about how many runs you score. Plain and simple. I care about runs scored, runs batted in, runs created, home runs. You know, that's what I care about. Home runs are the same thing. Home runs are a means to an end. I care about runs batted in and runs scored. Home run gives you one of each, bare minimum. So all of the other, like, it's all ancillary to the main crux of scoring runs and creating runs. And in my mind, and you watch it, nobody creates more runs than Judge. Plain and simple. He's the best home run hitter in the league. The last 2 years, he's finished second. He's first runner-up in the batting title. Like, the guy is every year in and year out, he's a Triple Crown candidate while he's hitting 58, 60 home runs. So when you say game on the line, life on the line, who do I want at the plate? Over the last 2 years, watching Juan Soto in the postseason and watching Judge in the postseason, there's no question. Sure, Juan Soto's had a better, you know, in the playoffs when the games matter most, there it's not even close. Juan Soto's been better, and Judge has really struggled in the postseason. But you watch the 162, like tomorrow, or the Yankees don't play tomorrow. They play tomorrow. Today's Friday now. So let's say Saturday. Bottom of the ninth inning or top of the ninth for the Mets. Game on the line. Bases loaded. Down two runs. Who do I want at the plate? I want Aaron Judge. He's the better hitter. He hits for a higher batting average. He gets on base better. He slugs better. There's a better chance of scoring there's a better chance of a home run, better chance of a base hit, better chance he gets on base. Like, that's who he's been. So I understand that that comes off as disingenuous. Or, you know, because now he's a Met and Judge is a Yankee and I'm a Yankee shill and it's the captain. Just look at the numbers. In the biggest of games over the last couple of years, Juan Soto's been far better. But just include every game played over the last couple of years, it's not close. And I went through this because someone really got on me about it. We went through two strikes. Juan Soto and Judge last year, in at-bats with two strikes, Judge is better at everything. Judge is better with, other than he strikes out more. I'll give you that. He strikes out more, even and regular and with two strikes. But batting average with two strikes, Judge is better. On base percentage with two strikes, Judge is better. Slug with two strikes, Judge is better. Even with two strikes, when you feel you got to change the approach, he strikes out more, but he doesn't get more outs. He gets on base more. He hits the ball harder more. Like, he just does everything better than Juan Soto. That's who he's been over the last 3 years, and you can't argue it. And just like I can't argue last year in the World Series, like while you're going through it, like right now, an arbitrary date, tomorrow in the regular season or whatever, like no question, I'd rather have Judge. Watching a World Series play out while Soto's hitting 350 and Judge is hitting 150, of course, in that moment when they're one's going great and one's going poorly, of course, but I can make that case for a lot. Like last year, I'd rather have Gleyber Torres up than Aaron Judge in a big spot with the way they were going in the playoffs. Does that mean Gleyber Torres is a better hitter? Like, you know, there have been times where go back to the World Series in the playoffs of 1998, I would rather have Scott Brosius up than Paul O'Neill. Does that mean Scott Brosius, because he went on a tear in the postseason and won the World Series MVP, that I think Scott Brosius is a better hitter than Paul O'Neill? Because in the World Series, how could you say you wouldn't want Scott Brosius? Like, I'm just saying, while you're watching it in the moment, going through a series, it's different because guys go through hot streaks and cold streaks. But on an arbitrary date, a made-up thing, tomorrow, next week, sometime in the season, whenever, game on the line, who do I want up? I want up the best hitter. The best hitter is Aaron Judge. Aaron in the Bronx. What's up, Aaron?
What's going on, T-Mac? Let me get straight to the chase over here. I mean, the joy I had watching Juan Soto look like Gary Sanchez wetting his pants in the ninth inning. Oh, my God, you have no idea. Let me tell you the reason why. Let me explain why. The reason why Juan Soto wet his pants that bad, it's clear he doesn't have Daddy Judge to mentor him out there. I mean, last year with Daddy Judge, look what he did in the first game of the season. I mean, he won the game for the Yanks. Man, watching Juan Soto wet that pants without Daddy Judge is a joy to watch, honestly. A real joy to watch.
I've been waiting for your call all morning, Aaron. I've been waiting for the Juan Soto wet his pants call all morning long. Where have you been? It's 2:18. That's what I've been waiting for. You knew it was going to happen. Listen, you got and Met fans, you got to deal with it today. That's all. You had all offseason. You had the better of it. The Yankee fan couldn't say anything to you that you didn't have the Trump card on. There was no, other than 27 championships or whatever, you know, old antiquated arguments the Yankee fan could make. You guys had the great year last year. The Yankees did go to the World Series and you didn't, so I suppose they could say that. But they won the bidding war. You won the bidding war, rather. You got Juan Soto. All the hype is around you. The Yankees have been devastated by injury and everything else. Like, you had the offseason. and you might have today, and you might have tomorrow, and you might have 161 games out of 162 to rag on the Yankees. For all I know, that is very possible. But today, with everything that happened, Carlos Rodon coming through the way he came through, Wells hitting the home run to start the game, Volpe, who they is you have to have a big season from and a jump from, he hits the home run. Judge comes through with a double down the line with runners on to give them the lead. You know, the bullpen does its job. Williams saves the game, although it was shaky. Like, everything that went well for the Yankees on their home opener to win the game and go 1-0, and then to, like, while you're driving home, turn on the radio and listen to Howie Rose tell you that Juan Soto struck out swinging after being up 3-0 to Hader in the ninth to lose the game. The Yankee fan has their day. It's going to last this morning, later today, through Evan and the afternoon show. And then the Mets will play tonight. They'll probably win. And you have your we get back on equal footing. But today, the Yankee fan has it. That's all. You got to deal with it. Eli in the Bronx. What's up, Eli?
Yeah, C-Mac, I think our last caller was nice by saying wetting the pants. I think Soto pooped his pants last night, and let me tell you why. He pooped his pants.
Are you guys both from the same kindergarten class or something?
Yeah, I just let
you
me
and the last
same,
caller
same
with the poops, same, poops the and the peeps. It sounds like my C-Mac, kids right C-Mac, after they get C-Mac, off the bus.
On.
Yeah,
what's hold up? Hold on, C-Mac, the same situation last year.
Yes.
With the Yankees, I think he came through with a base hit.
He certainly did. He certainly did.
Let me tell you the difference. Last year, he was wearing prideful pinstripes, not LOL Mets garbage uniform. Not the lowly Mets. I haven't had back-to-back playoff years in how many years? We can't count the last time they made back-to-back playoffs.
2015 and 2016, yeah.
Yeah, 2015, 2016. Was anyone alive then, or were we dead? Oh, we don't know.
Were we dead?
The lowly Mets. Oh, the lowly Mets. He couldn't come through. The degrading uniform. Oh, Grimace, purple pimp. That looks like a fat though.
Who's
bigger, Soto or the purple pimp? Or the purple big boy.
The rally pimp.
Soto. Oh, by the way, we have Stanton for less to chase his sliders outside. For a lot less money. You guys have Soto, we got Stanton for a lot less money who does better in the playoffs. For a lot less money.
For a lot less money, yeah, I know. Only 55 million to 32 million. You're right. 20 million less.
Yeah. And we could see Stanton chasing sliders outside. Not a Soto, a butcher.
The poops and peeps got me. He didn't. You ain't cool unless you pee your pants. Juan Soto didn't just pee his pants, he pooped him. I was hoping you guys would be around at 12. It took you 2 hours to show up. I appreciate you, though. he wasn't wearing the pinstripes, clearly. That's why Juan Soto struck out against one of the best relievers in the game after getting on base 3 times. I love it. Oh, how quickly it will turn. Because I'll be honest with you, even though Judge came through with the double, I don't think he looked good. He was blade on a couple fastballs. He's had a terrible spring. I would not be surprised if, much like last year, Judge gets off to a little bit of a slow start. And Juan Soto's terrific. He's on base 3 times today. I could see in 3 weeks, Juan Soto absolutely killing it, Judge off to a little bit of a slump, and the absolute opposite calls will come in. But today, listen, today's the one. I'm the Yankee guy. I have to admit, it is what it is. I'm a Yankee fan. I feel like I play it pretty fair. But I talk, I'm a Yankee fan. So I'm going to get the Yankee fan callers who are crowing today. And that was funny. I don't know why that cracked me up. Because it literally sounded like my kids when they get off the bus. I got to go pee-pee. I got to go poops. All right, go ahead, guys. Not at the same time, please. He didn't just pee his pants. He pooped them. And he wasn't wearing pinstripes when he did it last year. But that is true. I got to be honest. It is fair, I suppose. In the exact same situation last year, got the base hit, threw the runner out at the plate, had an incredible series against the Astros last year. And that was a much bigger series than it is for the Mets this year. It's just an opening series. It's an interleague play. It's not that big a deal. Yankees-Astros, first four games of the year last year, to sweep those four games after what the Astros have done to him, will never get even. It'll be very, very difficult to ever get even with the Astros, but that was an important series. And it just set the tone that Juan Soto was going to be a special player for them, to come through the way he did. The base hit in that exact situation off the same pitcher, Hader, to come through and slap one the other way to the game-winning run in, and then obviously the play at the plate with Clay Holmes on the mound. Like, there's just a lot of symmetry between the Yankees and Mets at the moment. The offseason, you know, Juan Soto, Clay Holmes, that moment against Hader in that building to start the season, like, it's just, it's too much of, it's just too much intermingled memories to not discuss. Like, there's just too much going on, Met Yankee land, to not talk about it like this. So it was an interesting moment. I thought Juan Soto was going to come through. I absolutely did. Soto, I thought Yelich was going to come through and break our hearts as well, and neither happened. But he pooped and peed his pants. I love it. You guys are crazy. Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
So, man, Rendon looked freaking good today.
He did. Huh? He certainly did.
Listen, what's crazy about him is, in his best years, all he threw was fastballs and sliders. That's all he threw. So in 2023, when he had that injury-riddled, you know, season, he threw the same thing, fastballs and sliders. Last year, he started opening up and expanding his repertoire a little bit. He became a more complete pitcher. If he pitches like this, which is six distinct pitches, I know it's opening day, it's one game.
Yep.
But he showed off his new sinker. He's got an improved changeup.
Yep.
He mixed in a curveball.
Curveball for sure. Curveball for strikes to get ahead early in the count.
Ridiculous.
Like,
ridiculous.
I have to, and listen, you're talking, if you go back, listen to my open at midnight, that's you're literally verbatim saying what I'm saying. I totally agree. Yeah. We have seen, like, I'll give the first year a wash. You're right. He got hurt. He came back. He had the issue with the fans. He was never right. He had a miserable first season with the New York Yankees. Last year, he pitched, like, he had a five or six game stretch, which is too much. I'm not going to say it's not. You have a one or two game stretch that were as bad as his five or six. You go, okay, it's a one or two games. It was like a month where he just had nothing, and anytime something happened, the ball kept rolling in the wrong direction for him. But like, you take away those five starts, like, he won 16 games and pitched to an ERA under three. You take away those five starts, like, and all five were right in a row. So we have seen. I would tell you this last year. I think we saw at times a more dominant Carlos Rodon, where the fastball was up better. He was really just mowing through people. That fastball-slider combination was devastating. If he has that on, he can be dominant. But I think in a Yankee uniform, we have seen Carlos Rodon pitch better than we saw him yesterday. That was the best that was the best pitching performance we have seen from Carlos Rodon in a Yankee uniform. You're 100% right. I mean, he was pitch mix. I don't know why I'm having every time I try and say pitch mix, I say picks Mitch. Pitch mix was unbelievable. He was getting ahead with the breaking ball, not even just the slider, the curveball. He was also throwing the slider for strikes. He had the slider down in the dirt for swing and miss. He had the fastball up both sides of the plate, the changeup.
And Jackson struck out five times on the same pitch, by the way.
He only struck out three times against Rodon. But, he was 0-for-5 with five strikeouts in the game. Yeah. And if you could do that to this Milwaukee team, and let's be fair, Milwaukee's not a great hitting team. The lineup isn't all that good. They've lost some guys. Yelich, is still a pretty good hitter, but coming off the back injury, you got to see what he is this year. Really, it's, Jackson Chourios and the catcher are the two dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the catcher is one of the best in baseball.
Right. But you get through that, and that lineup's not that difficult. So it is day one. It isn't one of the great hitting teams in baseball. So let's just take it easy. But I don't disagree with you, man. That was the best we have seen Carlos Rodon pitch in a Yankee uniform. Now, it's only 5 1/3. And against this lineup, I'm not taking bows for it. But I have to admit, this was a big start. And I love the idea. And again, Aaron Boone. I'm going to keep talking about Aaron Boone because nobody else wants to, unless it's in the negative connotation. Aaron Boone, and I hear this a lot from Yankee fans. I hear it a lot. I was actually listening to, I forget the name of the podcast, but my guy Brian, who used to work here, does a Yankee podcast. And he was saying this, and I have Yankee fan friends who say this, like, about Aaron Boone. Every time we get into an Aaron Boone discussion, anytime I try and defend Aaron Boone, I always hear, where is the positive from Aaron Boone? All right, Chris, yes, they win a lot of games. Okay. Yes, they've never underachieved. That's kind of what I say. But when is the last time you watched the Yankee game and felt like, wow, Aaron Boone is the reason they won? I can give you a ton of games where Aaron Boone was the reason they lost. I hear that all the time. And I'm telling you, there are games you don't recognize it, nor do you care. You give credit to the player, which is fair. You should give credit to the player. But you should give blame to the player as well when he fails. You look at this. Everybody wanted Max Fried to start. The morning show and Boomer Esiason were screaming about it, that it's ridiculous. You just paid him all this money. You had this miserable offseason with all the injuries. How are you not going to Max Fried to open the season? I don't understand. And I'm not saying Max Fried would have been bad or not won the game, or that even Carlos Rodon wouldn't have been better on Saturday. I don't know. But what I do know is he chose Carlos Rodon, and he gave Rodon a little bit of pressure of opening day. A little bit of, hey, this is a big game now. You're filling in for our ace who's in a brace right now during introductions, going through Tommy John. You know, get off to a good start of the season. Make the fan base feel good. You know, just a little bit of pressure. And he rose to the occasion, and he pitched great. And then Wells is the leadoff hitter. Wells, the catcher, is a leadoff hitter. Why? How about Jazz or someone with speed? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. And he hits a leadoff home run to start the game off. And then even against the lefty, and he only had 89 pitches or so. I think he was under 100, Rodon, in the sixth inning. After really cruising all game, Sal Frelick, who does have had two hits in the game, but he's a lefty, so it wasn't like it was a righty to bring in a righty. He brings in Tim Hill in that moment. Hill gets out of the jam. After I thought he was going to take him out after the fourth inning when he fell at first base and all that, and he looked a little banged up and his fastball went down a few ticks, he sends him back out for the fifth, and Rodon goes through the order 1-2-3 with three strikeouts. Then he takes him out for Hill. Hill gets out of the jam, got squeezed by the umpire, and got an unlucky little, you know, swinging bunt that prolonged the inning and still managed to get out of the jam. Then he goes to Leiter in the seventh, and Leiter throws 12 pitches in a dominant inning. Like, no one's going to look at that. Nobody is going to look at that and say, well, yeah, no, here, there's an example of Aaron Boone winning a game for you. No one's going to say that because the players did what they're supposed to do. Wells is a good hitter. He's supposed to hit a home run. Rodon's making a ton of money. He's supposed to have a good start. Tim Hill just got signed. No, he had a great... Tim Hill's supposed to get those outs. Leiter is supposed to get those outs. Well, then, when does a manager ever do anything? Players win, managers lose. That's it. And I'm not saying there haven't been situations where Aaron Boone made a decision that cost the Yankees the game. Of course there have been. There have been calls I disagree with that end up going the wrong way and costing the Yankees a game, of course. But we don't ever, and everyone says, because you remember those games, you don't remember the wins. You don't remember the moves. And more than you don't remember, you don't give credit. Ever. The manager never gets credit. And I'm just saying, look at this game. Look at the decisions. Wells is the leadoff hitter. Not a lot of Yankee fans like it. Boom. Starts the season off 1-0. Carlos Rodon, not Max Fried, the best pitching performance as a Yankee. Volpe in the middle of the lineup, home run. Bullpen decisions, perfect. But nobody will remember it. And the next time in 3 months when I say, hey, can you give me a game where Boone won it for them? They go, are you kidding me? There's not a single game Boone actually won. Where's the positive? Today was one. Today was one. Today was one where he put his players in the best position to succeed. And that's all you can ask from a manager. But nobody gives him credit, and no one's going to recognize it. All you're going to remember is the one time he brought in a reliever where you thought it was questionable, and the reliever didn't get outs, and so therefore the manager's a moron. That's it. That's how it works. If a reliever comes in, unless it's the closer in the ninth with a lead, other than that, if you bring in a reliever and he gives up runs, the manager is stupid and he should have done something else. That's how we react, and specifically with Aaron Boone, who hasn't won a championship, and I get that, and no Yankee manager has had the length of years as the manager of the New York Yankees without winning a championship. And, you know, the 2020 postseason with that ridiculous decision to pull the crap with J-Hap and Garcia was ridiculous. And there's been some moments, there's no doubt. He's not the perfect manager. And today isn't even a day to crow about him, but I just want you to remember. Remember days like today when you scream that he never wins you a game. And you don't have to point to today, but just acknowledge the fact that when you're searching for games that he won or where he's the positive, they're there. You just don't give a damn. Let's go to Steve in Rockland real quick. What's up, Steve?
Oh, man, Chris, you know, all that stuff is true. How about this? How about this? Imagine if on pitch 36, instead of striking Yelich out, that would have been a game-tying hit. Oh, boy.
Yep.
Oh, the board would be lit up.
Well,
Boone this.
He should have stuck with Weaver. Weaver had an incredible eighth inning. Why would you even go to the closer first against a team he knows, like that team that he was on prior, in the cold like this? Why would you throw him into that situation with a three-run lead? You know closers like to have closer games. Like, I don't understand. Boone's an idiot. You're 100% right.
I mean, 36, you know what? And what you – look, the one thing that Aaron Boone hasn't done is win that elusive championship.
Yep.
Okay? He's done every – I mean, how many – you know, he's compiled a very impressive winning percentage.
Yeah.
As the Yankee manager, okay, at the helm. And that's a fact, okay? So I get it. Yankee fans, you know, impatient, et cetera, want that elusive championship. I got it. I get it. But you know what? Everything that you said, I mean, so that was what I was thinking. Imagine, hey, that guy threw 36. How many times have you seen a relief pitcher do a 36-pitch inning and come out of it successful?
Yeah, not many.
Yeah, I mean, is that maybe it was just dumb luck. Like you said, players win, managers get blamed.
That's it. You're 100% right. And look, I don't think, to be fair, I don't know how many, you'd have to really be just a Boone hater to get on and complain about the closer blowing a game. I mean, they traded for him. He's got a career 1.8 ERA. I mean, it's the ninth inning. They got a three-run lead. That's, you go to the closer. I think every manager in baseball would have done that. But maybe they would have been mad that he took him out of the game. And certainly there'd be some dope out there saying, leave Weaver in. He had a great inning in the eighth or whatever. Or leave Leiter in for the set, you know, and then go to Weaver to close. You know, you probably find a million different ways to do it. But, yeah, no, listen. I'm not saying Aaron Boone's the best manager in baseball. I think that's Terry Francona. I think Bruce Bochy's a better manager. I think there are better managers. I'm not saying he's infallible or that he's terrific or unbelievable. And, you know, the Yankees should sign him to a 15-year contract because they found one of the greats. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we often, like, we never remember the games he won. They never remember the games where he made decisions that you might have disagreed with. And it doesn't have to just be bullpen decisions. It can be lineup construction. It can be decisions on who to play. And again, even last year in the playoffs, like, I know Verdugo ended up not hitting, but everybody wanted Jason Dominguez. Verdugo won them game one against the Royals. People don't remember. He came through with the big hit that won them the game. And he made a great play that almost won them game one if they didn't give up the home run to Freddie Freeman. He made an incredible play in the outfield that Dominguez doesn't make. But game one specifically against the Royals, they might lose that game if not for the base hit. And then what if they lose game two? So what if they're down 0-2 to Kansas City? What if they don't make it out of the Kansas City Royals series if he doesn't play Verdugo game one? Nobody thinks of it that way. Nobody looks at it that way. Nobody ever says what if on the good decisions that win you games. We only say what if on the decisions that lose. What if he played Jason Dominguez? He went 0-for, made an error in the outfield. They lose game one, lose game two, and then go to Kansas City down 0-2 and don't get out of that first round, and we don't have the fifth inning and go to the World Series. That is on the table. Nobody thinks of it that way, but that's on the table. But nobody says, yeah, or the way he handled first base with Birdie and Cabrera playing while Rizzo was out in the first round when he was against Kansas City. Everyone he played came through with a big defensive play. Everyone he played at first base came through with a hit that day. But hey, you're a Major League Baseball player. You're supposed to get hits. You're supposed to make good plays. So why would I give the manager credit? That's how it is. I'm just saying Boone is overly criticized. Overly. I was sitting next to a guy today at the ballpark who was just killing Boone for no reason. Look, he was like, look at him sitting at the edge of the dugout like you actually have decisions to make. He's getting the phone call from Cashman to tell him what to do. I mean, this guy's not going anywhere until Cashman's gone. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. I'm literally quoting the guy sitting next to me for no reason. Like Aaron Boone, like that's why he's on my mind particularly, because nothing happened. There is no reason, and the guy next to me just, it wasn't the whole game. He went off for like, they must have been having a conversation about Aaron Boone, and he went off of like two or three minutes just killing Aaron Boone for no reason. The guy gets overly criticized. He's not an unbelievable manager, and eventually he's got to win a championship. I mean, of course, right? I'm not saying he could be the Yankee manager forever without winning. Eventually he's got to win. And I know that's a slippery slope, or at least, you know, I am having that discussion. Like, it's not like, oh, he's so good, you got to keep him. Eventually, he's got to win. Should that have been last year? Should it be this year? Should it be next year? I get it. I'm kind of arbitrarily just saying he should win without giving you a time frame. But, like, eventually, yeah, he's got to win. But I think Aaron Boone is a far better manager than people give him credit for. I think he gets way too much flack. I think he's called a puppet. Like, he has it both ways. He's a puppet who doesn't make any decisions, and yet he makes all the wrong decisions. Like, you can't have it both ways. He's either a puppet who is told what to do, and Brian Cashman's a terrible manager, or Aaron Boone isn't to blame. Like, you can't have it both ways. Oh, what an idiot that Boone is. He gets told everything to do. Like, you can't have it both ways, and yet the Yankee fan does, because the manager gets blamed for every loss. And today he had a good day. That's all.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, in the end, it's the Knicks that land Carmelo Anthony from Denver, and Amari Stoudemire happy that he's on hand. Stoudemire, addressing the media today, says the team will be hard to guard now, likes the idea of having that 1-2 punch.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, we don't want no scrubs. That's right. Yeah, we don't want no scrubs. Neither does Evan Roberts. He doesn't want any scrubs either.
And Juan Soto, wake the hell up. We can't be having these weak swings at sliders, 3-2 in the dirt, to lose a game to the Astros.
Can't have it, you scrub. I love that. Thank you. Whoever sent me that, thank you very much. That got me through the morning. That's right. Wake the hell up, Juan Soto. Would you go to sleep between your second and third, between your first and second walk of the game? Which way did you fall asleep? I want to know. Wake the hell up. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Let's not get too excited. I mean, this is a highly anticipated opening day for both teams.
No
both
doubt. Teams.
And we were hanging on every pitch. And, I think my issue with the Mets is that they're counting too much on Vientos to bat behind Alonso. Alonso drew a couple of walks, I think, because they were not afraid to pitch to Vientos. And Vientos came up three times with men on base prior to that last inning, and he did not deliver. And you have a closer now. You're going to experience the Victor Diaz syndrome, I think, which is coming in with a three-run lead, should be comfortable, and being on the edge of your seat. He's not going to win all of those. He's not going to save all of those.
No, you mean with the Yankees?
Right.
Devin Williams is terrific. I mean, I think today was a little bit of an aberration. First game is the New York Yankee opening day, playing his former team. I actually think he's going to have a really great year pitching in the American League, where a lot of these players haven't seen much of that changeup. So, not a great outing for him. He did the old bend but don't break. I'm not too concerned about it, nor am I concerned about anything with the Mets either. Listen, relying on Vientos, I hear you. It is only one year where he's had, but last year he was terrific into the postseason. He was terrific. I don't know where you're going to add another bat. We'll see. Beatty's probably going to get a start later today. And if he ever becomes, you'd like to see that left-handed guy in the middle of the lineup to kind of go after Alonso. But I have no problem relying on Vientos. I think Vientos is a stud. You got to rely on your young players. Look at how many young players the Yankees are relying on. That's how you have the best team possible. A good mix, building from within the organization. And Vientos was an absolute rock star last year. So I don't know what they were going to do to change that. They're going to have to rely on him. He's their starting third baseman, as he should be. And he's got the power to put right in the middle of the lineup. Now, we'll see if someone gets hot or he gets cold. You could always, manipulate the lineup a bit. And the Mets have. And, Mendoza kind of did last year at times. So we'll see, how Nimmo and his knee reacts, because that would be someone when he's hot. I mean, look, Nimmo's had a little bit of a power surge over a little bit last year, and I think he might start to become a little bit more of a power hitting guy and a little bit less of the kind of on base slap hitter kind of guy. So we'll see how he transitions a little bit. But right now, if he gets hot, I would like to see him behind Alonso, the lefty righty thing. But I mean, you're going to rely on Vientos. There's no doubt about it. You can't hide from Vientos. So, and he's been so great. You got to see, where he is this year. I would expect him to be good. You've seen sophomore slumps before. He might not be as good as he was in the second half last year and into the playoffs. But you got to rely on those guys. And it's one game. It's one game to say you're relying on anything. I know the offense was shut down. I know they didn't score a run till the ninth, and it was on a sack fly. And had, a couple rallies there in the eighth, ninth to come up short. And it's frustrating, and I understand that. And the Yankee fans are having a little fun at your expense for one day. But ultimately, it's, I think before you make any conclusions about this Met lineup and how it's constructed and who they're relying on, and, you need more than a day. Paul in Yonkers. What's up, Paul?
Good morning, Chris. A pleasure.
Good morning. It's a pleasure speaking with you, Paul.
Thank you very much. I quickly want to talk about the ninth inning with the Mets. It was amazing how the bottom of the order, yeah, which is the weak part of the Mets, got us to Lindor and Soto. Mm-hmm. That's all you could ask for.
100%.
I wasn't mad at Lindor for hitting a fly ball. That was only one run. We needed more. But Soto's at bat. It's a fantasy. He allows you to think this guy's going to hit a three-run homer.
Yeah,
that's the fantasy of this guy. And one more thing. Last year, I watched all his bats. He's always 3-2. Every at-bat.
Yeah, he takes a lot of pitches.
He gets the pitcher 3-2. And you're on the edge of your chair. And you're waiting for something spectacular to happen. He got beat today.
Yeah, that's it.
We got him for years.
A whole lot
Not
of years.
Not one game, Evan. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
Embarrassed yourself.
You embarrassed yourself, Evan. You should be ashamed of yourself. Wake up, Juan Soto. Who the hell do you think you are, Evan Roberts? Honestly. But, wake up. Can't have this. But you did use the word fantasy. It's not a fantasy. I mean, yes, he is so good that it's hard to fathom, and especially chasing a pitch outside the strike zone. Like, if he got beat with a fastball inside the zone or hit a hard ground ball somewhere and was out, like, if he didn't come through, it's one thing. It's particularly how he didn't come through, because that's the A-plus part of his game. I mean, as much as he can hit you 40 home runs and as great as he is, with his eye, his chase rate, like, that's what makes him special. That's why he gets comparisons to Ted Williams. That's why he's the generational talent. Not because he hits 40 home runs. Alonso does that. It's because of his eye. It's because of the at-bats he gives you. It's because, he doesn't chase pitches outside the zone. So to see it on a 3-2 slider where he takes a half hack at it and gets beat on a slider outside the zone, it particularly jumps out at you because that's his strength. And again, last year he came through in that exact spot against the Astros with the Yankees. So, like, there's a little bit of that. But I don't think it's a fantasy. But, yes, he allows you to believe he's always going to come through. He's one of the few players when they don't, you're like, oh, man. And Judge gets like that. In the postseason, not as much. But over the course of the regular season, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman. I saw Mookie Betts was playing. I don't know how he did or what's the deal with his stomach is if he's any better. That's a scary situation, what was going on with Mookie Betts. But like the great hitters in the league, they allow you to believe that they're going to come through. And to watch Juan Soto fail in that moment, especially the last time you saw the Mets, I know they were losing to the Los Angeles Dodgers, but and you believe in this team having something special still. Like, it's a brand new year, but it's the first game back. Even I was talking about it. I was listening in the car on the drive home, listening to Howie Rose call the game, and Howie mentioned at least two or three times about, you know, the idea, you know, painting the picture, but the idea of if they're going to continue the storybook season of the 2024 Mets, like he said it like three or four times, referencing last year's magic when they had the rally in the eighth and ninth. It's a brand new year. But right now, with Juan Soto, with how all the magic they had last year and the nature of it, you felt like, man, it's going to come down to Juan Soto on opening day of the season, and he's going to blast one. He's going to do it. He's going to come through. At the very least, he's not going to end the game. He's going to walk. He's up 3-0. They don't want to pitch to him. That's what led to the rally in the eighth. They get the first two outs of the inning, and then they throw a four-pitch walk to Juan Soto. Like, why you would have a 3-0 lead, two outs in the eighth, and pitch around Juan Soto, I'll never know. And again, I was in the car, so I didn't go back to watch the at-bat. I don't know how competitive the pitches were, but a four-pitch walk with getting two outs and nobody on in the eighth, and then go on to walk another two batters and load the bases for Nimmo, I mean, that's the impact Juan Soto has. He has the impact of, hey, like, I'm not, even with two outs and nobody on, why, I'm not going to mess around with Juan Soto. And boom, an inning was created. And it felt like, oh, here we go. Juan Soto starts the rally in the eighth. Perfect. Juan Soto with a walk starts the rally in the eighth. We come back. Nimmo hits one down the line. Now all of a sudden it's 3-2, second and third. Like, that's what you're expecting. Because that's what this team gave you last year. And then, of course, Juan Soto ended the game. Like, you're expecting him to come through because that's the heroics you've gotten used to over the year. And you believe for the first time in forever. And I think that's why the Yankee fans, the couple that really called in and had some fun with it, and off the offseason, is that for the first time it feels like. Now, I don't know every Met fan, and I know I had an older gentleman call me yesterday and talk about Steve Summers and Joe Beningo and what a real Met fan feels like, and real Met fans are still waiting for the other shoe to drop. And maybe I'm misreading it. Maybe more Met fans feel like that than I'm admitting or that I'm saying. But I feel like most Met fans are extremely optimistic. And off of last year and the addition of Juan Soto, I think most Met fans probably felt like he was going to come through in that moment. And that I don't think the Met fan has felt that way in a long time. The expectation of success in those moments are few and far between in Met history. Whether or not they actually got it, the expectation of getting it is probably even less frequent than actually coming through in those moments. So I think that's what it is. The ultimate feeling that it's not just Juan Soto, it's the franchise. The GM, the owner, the farm system, the organization. The organization is in a place better than it's been in most Met fans' lifetime. And coming off the magical run that Howie Rose referenced three or four times in the ninth inning, everyone expects him to come through because that's what he does and that's what the Mets do. And in that moment, not coming through, swinging at a pitch, chasing and going outside the zone, which he hardly ever does, to see that maybe has created a little bit more of that at-bat than there really should be, or there obviously should be. There should be nothing to this at-bat. It should just be, oh, shucks, we'll get him next time. But because of all of those elements rolled into one, the expectation of actually coming through, Juan Soto, the storybook nature of either starting the rally in the eighth or finishing the rally in the ninth, everything that went on this offseason, him leaving the zone of all things, The Yankees winning earlier in the day. Clay Holmes and the Yankees. Clay Holmes not pitching as well as he did in spring. The rotation, like all of it wrapped into one, led to this kind of dynamic we're experiencing right now. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Eli, Billy, Stewart, I see you guys. We're going to get to a couple other things, too, as well as something we saw later in the game with the New York Yankees that absolutely is going to be what we're going to see most of the time, and I think it's smart.